program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If you missed our last program, you've got to catch it. This is so important. We're not here to entertain. We're here to let you know what's going on. This is an alarm being raised up right now. We've got to pay close attention. Every dot has to connect. And you're joining us right here on VFN TV. I know this is a sense of urgency, but our time is so limited with you. We have a very limited amount of time. Remember, you go to VFNTV.com and go to The Torch. Subscribe to our newsletter now. Go to VFNTV.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Download our app. Let's stay in communication because some serious things are taking place in the world right now. And people have some evil intentions to do harm to our nation. And we got to just, this mindset is like, my goodness, they want to harm us. They really wanted, and it's like, we have to wake up. And of course, John Ramos is joining me. But right now, when you think about this, you think about the First Amendment to the Constitution. And the First Amendment is so important. And you got to get your little pocket Constitution so you can read. It's pretty small. And the First Amendment starts talking about us having the freedom to do what we're doing right now, to be able to, that Congress shall make no law concerning religion, and that there's the freedom of the press, and we have a right to petition our government, and all these things, that this is a right that we have based on the Constitution that God has allowed us to have in our nation. But as we speak right now, you hear the words like net neutrality. Understand, you know, Saul Alinsky, you know, wrote this particular book, walked out these whole techniques called Rules for Radicals, but he got them from, based on his own intro to his book, Rules for Radicals, from Lucifer. He dedicates the book to Lucifer, who did the very same radical rules and got his own kingdom. And we have that for you. We actually have the book for you, but our current president was mentored by this particular man, and so was Hillary Rodham Clinton, mentored, who they're saying as we speak right now, that she's going to be the next president of the United States. They're talking about that. And it's like a brother and a sister that was mentored by Saul Alinsky, brother and sister in the context, they had the same mentor, Saul Alinsky, that it's like, man, there's a fundamental transformation taking place of America. And based on our last program, you got to catch it, that that our president, according to his pastor at the time, Jeremiah Wright, was selected before he was elected. And we found out, according to Valerie Jarrett, which is the family close friend, she actually selected him. And her goal is to be able to make America an Islamic nation. And it's coming through based on her own words. We just got to catch last program if you didn't get it. But I just want to catch you up to date. And what are they going to do? What do they want to do? They want to be able to silence us at that point. They want to be able to not have the freedom of speech anymore. The first thing that happens when people who want to control people is they say this. They say, I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to say anything. Because if you communicate, you know, as a matter of fact, we just saw an imam on our last program talking of the first Sharia court being set up in Irving, Texas, North Texas. You got to see that. Like, can you believe that? But they say we got a system set up. We're very smart in how things are set up. And they even said, you know, this is the imam and his professor friend, I believe, is a professor. You know, said that even most Muslims are ignorant about what's going on, and that when we had some, I think 400 Muslim scholars that came together at one point, they came together and said, you have to be a scholar to be able to be a leader and declare a caliphate. So they really based their religion off of how much do you know and how intelligent you are based on some of the things that we're seeing. And so they're saying, you know, we're the ones that really know what's going on. Listen, that's not the God that we serve. And understand right now, when you hear the words net neutrality, when you hear the words up, what they mean is down. When you hear the word right hand, watch the left hand. When you hear someone say yes, understand it's no. When you hear somebody says you're going to have more freedom, understand they're going to take away freedom. When somebody says we want net neutrality and we want everybody to have access to the internet, and what they really want to do is come in and control the internet. I mean, the last thing that we have on the face of the earth at this moment right now in regards to technology and communication that, I mean, you can speak to anybody anywhere in the world is the internet. And now they're wanting, and since day one, we talked about this with the FCC in the very beginning of maybe last year, the very, very beginning of the president's administration, the first thing they did was put somebody in the FCC that's going to begin to, you know, try to bring in net neutrality and bring in, you know, and once you allow the government begin to regulate it, they're wanting to regulate it, according to reports right now by the AP News is reporting that they want to regulate the internet like a utility. like a utility, which means like your power, like your water, like your gas, which means at that point they'll determine how much, who will get what will be said. All of a sudden when you hear things being said like now where they say, you can't pray in school, you can't bring Jesus up in school, you can't bring your Bible to school. You know why? Because we let the government come in and begin to say, we want you to regulate education. We want the National Education Association to take over. We're going to send all of our money to the 530 folks in Washington, D.C., and they're going to tell us how to educate. And now you have people scared to bring up Jesus. What do you think is going to happen if you give the internet over to the government? You know, right now it's ran by private industry. It's ran by, you know, corporate world and that type of thing, which is, by the way, is owned by your neighbor, you know, stockholders and all that type of situation. But understand, if we give that over to the government, they're going to do the same thing. All of a sudden, somebody's going to say, you can't do that on the internet. You can't preach Jesus on the internet. That's, you know, that's hate speech if you talk about, you know, Jesus is the only way to God. And so these things are happening as we speak, and they want to be able to shut that down. I don't know how much time we have. I don't know how much time we have, but I do know there's a sense of urgency taking place. And I just want to encourage you to begin to get out your Constitution, begin to read it and understand it, a little small little pocket Constitution. Because understand this, that's the reason why police officers are restrained from doing what they can't just walk in your house. They just can't search you without a warrant. You can't just be taken without, you know, accused of a crime without having a trial. People that accuse you have to be in the presence of you, and your accuser has to face you in court. That you have a right to a jury of your peers. That you have a right to speak and to say, you know, whatever, as long as you don't hurt someone. That's the constitutional right that you have. And if they take that away, and this is what some of the things that's been said. Oh, the Constitution's outdated. It's a list of negative rights. And they begin to belittle the Constitution. And it's like, if we don't have God in the Constitution, we don't have America as we know it. But understand this. This is what I truly believe. I truly believe, you know, forget about this, church, if you don't even pick up your Bible. This word is useless. The Constitution's word is useless without God's word. Because in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, it was declared the reason why we could have the nation that we have is because all of our rights come from God. They don't come from government. If they come from government, then we end up with a king over us again. We end up with a tyrannical leader over us again. But our rights come from God. And if we don't even pick up God's word, his Bible, 81% of Christians in America that have Bibles, they don't even pick them up. 81%. And according to George Barna, The 19% that do, only 3% pick it up in the context of loyalty to what God's word says and makes decisions in their life. So you can actually memorize the Constitution all we want to. If we don't begin to abide with the Lord, and I encourage you today, we're going to be talking about net neutrality. We're going to be talking about the First Amendment. We're going to be talking about these things and what does it mean. We have to, and think about this. Imagine if tomorrow, you no longer have a mic. You no longer have the internet. You don't have the ability to communicate. They shut that down. And now you got to face eternity. You got to face God. And God's going to say, what did you do up to that point? You had the ability to communicate to the world. You had the ability to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and let people know that I love them and I have a plan for their life, that I can forgive them and I could restore them. I mean, all of that was at your hand. What did you do with that? Can you imagine about to lose that? And then it's like you can't regain that? Well, right now, at this one point in time, that's where we're at. And 97%, think about this, 97% of the church, regular church attenders, ones who gather with their church at least once every 2 weeks, don't even give God his tithes and offerings. Listen, we have put ourselves in a place that we don't want to be. You know, I think about this. I think about, you know, in Romans chapter 1, he says there's three phases about turning over a nation. There's three phases. And we are in the third phase, and it is cranked down. The first phase, he talks about, and it's a big, by the way, all of our partners, those that partner with us, for any dollar amount at all, you get access to all these teachings. We got this available for you. And you need to get it so you can listen to, you know, is America under God's judgment? It's just asking the questions, is it under God's judgment? And then we'll look at God's word and find out what God says. And I talk about these three different phases in the word of God. And we've way past the first phase, you know, not acknowledging God, not being grateful to God. The next phase is, okay, therefore God turns us over to sexual immorality to do things we ought not to be done. That's the second phase. And the third phase is a release of of what you're seeing happen as we speak right now in regards to, you know, same-sex marriages, and all of a sudden there is no more. It's everything goes. They give up their minds to God gives them over to a reprobate mind. All of a sudden the nation is just judged. And it's like, you know, we have to wake up. We have to say, you know what? God, we're sorry. We've sinned. We've sinned in our lives and turned back to God. This is kind of where we're at right now. And I know it seems, you know, you think, well, my goodness, you know, how tragic is that? Listen, when our back is against the wall, just like when Israel's back was against the Red Sea, God got them to that place. He put them in that place. He could have took them on a shorter journey to that Red Sea. But you know what he did? He took them on a certain journey that they could not turn and hightail back to Egypt again. He took them so they would be trapped and their back would be against the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's army would be coming that way. You know why? Because he wanted to show himself mighty. And so Moses cried out when Israel was up to the Red Sea. There's nowhere they could go. He had Pharaoh's army coming after them, and they were kind of sandwiched in between, you know, we're not going to be able to go anywhere, and these people are going to try to kill us. And guess what? Moses looked up and said, God, what do we do? And he said, hold up your staff. And he held up his staff, and all of a sudden God parted the impossible thing in front of them. God showed himself mighty and parted the Red Sea, and Israel crossed over on dry land because God parted that. Listen, it's not over until God says it's over, but we got to humble ourselves and understand. We got to look up and realize, God, I see the storm. I see what's going on. I see the tragedy. I see the storm. I hear the cries. I see the crucifixions. I see the beheadings. I see the sword being fashioned against America. But I tell you this, Lord, I look up knowing that you can deliver us from the situation. God can deliver us, but it'll require us to stand up and just say, God, we've sinned. Dear God, forgive us. We turn to man. We begin to give you, we're grateful for the things that you've done for us. If you're in America, you're richer, you're the top 3% of the world in regards to income. If you're the poorest person in America, you're richer than 70% of the world's population. Just think about that. 70% of 7 billion people, you're richer than them. We've been blessed. What have we been doing with this? I know my voice is being raised, but I'm just telling you, a sense of urgency. We're going to go to this break, and I'll be right back.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Your daughter will inevitably come home one day declaring that she's in love. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and how you respond, particularly to your teen daughter's declarations of love, well, that's important. And here's teen expert Darlene Brock explaining.
I don't think you diminish those emotions. I mean, they're 14 years old and they don't know what love means. Absolutely not. So you talk about it. What's he look like? Who is he? Why do you think you love him? What's special about him? Because at that point, you want to start establishing what's special about a boy that makes them worthy of her love. You know, not just is he cute and he skateboards well, but more, you know, he's nice to the teacher, he's nice to his mommy. And ask those kind of questions because those are the things that matter.
Hear more trusted advice for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you, he's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Right now, we're going to go straight to Breitbart in what regards to the internet and what's taking place with net neutrality. Listen to this.
FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler's much-anticipated net neutrality rules are barreling toward a final vote later this month, but they're almost guaranteed to become immediately mired in legal challenges. Telecom giants are deeply uneasy about Wheeler's plan to regulate broadband like a utility, and they're widely expected to drag the chairman to court. That could ensnare the FCC in a bruising multi-year fight that outlasts not only Wheeler, but the man who pushed him to take a stronger approach, President Barack Obama.
Hey, Breitbart's reporting right here in regards to this is FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input.
Which means bypass the people.
Bypass you. That's what that means, wherever you are. I don't know where you're at, but bypass you. Let me say that again. FCC, that's what Breitbart's reporting. FCC Commissioner, Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input. In other words, avoid your input. Congress is you. Congress. How many congressmen per 100,000 folks? There's out of every 700,000 people in your state, there is one congressman or congresswoman, congressperson that represents you. And so every 700,000, so if you have a greater population, if you only have 700,000, for example, in your state, you only have one congressperson. But if you have twice that much, you have two. Mm-hmm. So that is the greatest proportion of representative government that you have. And understand what they're saying. They're saying is to go around you, 700,000 folks, or how many representatives you have, mm-hmm. we went ahead and decided to be able to do something different. We don't want your input. They've convinced, they had such a constant narrative that people actually disassociate their own representatives from their own representatives. It's like the right hand disassociating itself from the left hand. Those people in Congress are people that you sent there. They're the ones that represent you. You can pick the phone up. You can, you know, as somebody's mother says, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of this world. You can, you know, you have representative government. They represent you. And it's okay. Don't feel intimidated by your employee, your representative. They represent you. We have to wake up. When somebody says they're going to go around Congress, they're going around you. Mm-hmm. Think about it, to go around one congressperson, that's to go around 700,000 people in your state. How many people's in your city? How many cities do you have to add up to know what they just went around? When you hear about Valerie Jarrett, the woman who professed to be, I selected the president before he was elected, when you combine what Jeremiah Wright said, mm-hmm. what she said on C-SPAN that we have in there, that she's going around Congress. That's her job. She said, my job is to go around Congress and to meet with all the mayors. Mm. And at some point, we got to wake up and say, people are going around us, and we have to say, represent us, represent our government. So they said FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input, in other words, to avoid your particular input regarding the internet by adopting President Franklin Roosevelt's 1934 Communications Act in regard to the internet. We're naming the federal control of like the old AT&T customer monopoly that was going on.
But I think in 1936, I don't think the internet was around back in 1936.
Well, you know what they're saying is that the law that was used to be able to control AT&T, which took 30 something years to bust it up because remember there's a monopoly they put on there. They want to put a monopoly based on what these are saying here. It looks like on the internet and it's totally controlled. You know, by that, and I remember, you know, during the bust up of the Baby Bells and all that was going on, and that was, you know, part of that even industry that's happening. But you're sitting here saying, they're saying they went back to be able to go around you, to go around Congress, its reports is, that they plan on adopting the President Roosevelt's 1934 Communication Act to regulate the internet with the same federal control as they did the old AT&T customer monopoly to make sure that the libertarian advocates would remain in the dark. Wheeler embargoed release of any specifics about the new policies that are going on. The internet economy goes on to say the internet economy was a, if it was a country, it would rank fifth behind the United States, China, Japan, and India.
Wow.
If the internet was a country,
wow,
the article says that it would rank fifth behind U.S., China, Japan, and India. When somebody says they want to control the fifth largest nation in the world, the internet, think about that, the economy, and economic activity on the internet totals $4.2 trillion, almost half of the Earth's 7 billion people are already connected to the web. What is the one thing that happened in regards to, I guess, Valerie Jarrett's plan was, is to get everybody a cell phone, get everybody connected to the internet. What's going on here? I remember something, you know, and our hearts go out to, you know, the survivors of the Holocaust and what took place.
Yes.
But what they did was they put numbers, they put tracking systems on people. At that time, all they had was a basic ledger and tattooing and all. But the ability to control people, and if you would have heard the earlier program in regards to this Sharia court that's going on in North Texas, Texas, come on, encourage us. That North Texas, they said that we have systems, we have strategies. When you think about, there was a documentary done called Quran by Heart. It was done by, I can't tell you the documentary it was done by, but they have all this computer technology where they're actually judging like a talent show of how much Quran and how people sing the morning prayer. Children would sing the morning prayer and they give them points. And these kids were singing prayers. They didn't even know what they meant, but they were singing them in Arabic, but they didn't speak Arabic. And they flew them in basically from different nations. And it was totally technical. It wasn't, even they talk about going back to the 14th century. I mean, they were like in, you know, they were today in regards to technology. And so you're looking at, it makes me think about this. It makes me think about, you know, I believe it's Revelation chapter 13 or 12, when he says, you know, that there's going to be an economy. There's going to be an economy. It's all going to be about the economy. And in this economy, it's going to be set up by a beast, somebody who has the heart of Satan, who has the mind of darkness. And it's going to be an economic system set up. And nobody's going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, the chip, the code. Think about it. It's happening right now. To give up the, it's, listen to me, America, to give up the internet is to turn that over to darkness. You think it's bad now with corporate world? Corporate world's into profits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll adjust based on the fact of, hey, if we want to make money, we got to go this way. But when evil folks who want to do evil, and I believe Google's comments were do no evil is what they said, but to turn over the internet to government, understand what can happen at that point. We're just pushing this thing on in to, yeah. And God, I remember I was sitting, God gave me this vision, this night vision, and I'm sitting in this pod, if you would, and you think about, you know, or offices in the city, and they have just lots of little small little sitting office areas, you know, and people were just entering data. And there was a whole bunch of people like that, you know, like a call center or something. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it just came to me when I was there that all this data is being entered in so people could be controlled and monitored. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in this vision, this night vision, I got up and everybody had their own little bulletin board and a whiteboard. And I wrote on the bulletin board because you couldn't say nothing. You say nothing. You know, this day's coming, by the way. This freedom that we have now, you mean you better say everything you can say, because God may turn the tide and we won't be shut down in the context of this. But think about every regret you have if you didn't say it. But anyway, so I got up in front of this, you know, this big, large office complex where everybody's entering this data. And the only way I could communicate was to write on this board. And I wrote on the board, this is the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast. And we are in those days. I don't know, you know, who selected our president other than, you know, Valerie's claiming she did. She did when she was on an interview with C-SPAN. You can see that, Valerie Jarrett. She says, you know, very specifically that, you know, her goal is to be able to make America an Islamic nation, I guess.
Yes.
An Islamic nation. We had that in our previous program. You can see that. And she's born in Iran. We said that in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Now we're understanding why, you know, why didn't they help the Green Party in Iran when they were kicking women and stoning them and hurting, killing people who were protesting. We helped every state except for the Iranian people. And now we have Pastor Saeed right in Iran. They won't release him. And now we got these kind words shooting out supposedly about Saeed. It's like, wait a minute. You don't care. You could overnight you could free Saeed. You could have him free, especially if Valerie is in tight. And then you think about the nuclear weapons that's coming in, the nuclear plants that are being forwarded and moved on in Iran. And, you know, we think about America. America is so large. You're thinking like, oh, this is just like 7,000 miles away. And it's like Israel, this widest point is like 60, 70 miles wide. Then you have Jordan. Then you have Iran. You have Iraq and Iran. Understand this, that if Iran gets nuclear power, nuclear weapons, they're going to fire those weapons and begin to obviously create a caliphate.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, some sort of Islamic rule. And ISIL, when you hear the word ISIL, that's the Levant, just so you know, that's a geographical statement that was actually promised to the Arab people, the Muslim people, after World War I, and they were denied it, and they're going to say they want it back. And here we are in this particular day where she's openly saying, you know, reports are, mm-hmm. I don't know, you tell me who the reports are saying this, that this has been her goal all along. And it totally makes sense. And she feels very comfortable that the freedom of religion is allowing this to take place. We got to make up our mind. Are we a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation? Do all of our laws and our rights come from God, or are we some sort of system set up by some religious system, by some beast system? We got to make up our mind. Is Jesus going to be the Lord of our country? Are we going to honor God? Are we going to honor the Jewish and the Christian God, mm-hmm. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or not? When we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFN-TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN-TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy, but I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
1200.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I no longer say that I can't believe it. But this is not a movie. This is not a test. This is not a drill.
Yeah.
This is true. And you know, there's kind of a concept people have. They say, you know, there's three ways people survive things under great stress. You know, some people just go do what they did. You know, if they get up and go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, they'll get up and go to work, even though the world's falling apart. We saw this at 9/11. You know, the towers are falling, these different things are happening, and we're looking at people going like, "You're going to work,
right?
You know, you're going to work. That's what you're doing right now. What are you doing? You know, our citizens are suffering, right? And so that's their survival. They just kind of, you know, kind of just
keep doing what they
keep
know
doing
to
what
do.
They're doing. Others deny it. They're like, "This didn't happen." But then there's people, survivors, who understand we got to pay attention. This is very important, and that's what's going on, you know, in the concept. We got to wake up and understand we have a response, and our response needs to be, "God, help us, Lord, send revival." And I believe in this, you know, great revival is going to come. And so we have our president at a prayer breakfast, mind you, at a prayer breakfast just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about they're burning people alive, John. They're burning people alive. You saw that right here on VFN TV. It's what's happening. We want it not to happen in America. So you need to see it there so it doesn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jordan started coming in, King Abdullah started going after ISIL for doing that, then they started killing children and started crucifying children, beheading children, burying children alive. When radical Islam went into France the other day, and tried to kill the journalists and all this, and they started coming after them. They went right into a Jewish store and started killing Jews. How in the world does that have anything to do with what the press and what's going on? It's like, listen, it's always JJ. What happens to the Jews and Jesus? What happens to the Jews in this? What happens to the church in this? Because the ultimate thing is Satan would want to destroy everybody that's God's folks. It happens every time. The birth of Moses, what happened? They got word of it. They said, go kill every baby like two and under. And bloodshed everywhere, right? They're trying to kill Moses, but they didn't. But a lot of bloodshed happened. When all of a sudden, when, you know, Jesus is born, as soon as King Herod got word of it and he couldn't, you know, they wouldn't tell him anything, he started killing every baby he could find that was about that age. Why? Because they were trying to kill what God was doing. Understand right now, God is bringing great deliverance to this earth, and the greatest thing, the movement this earth has ever seen is about to take place. But understand this great bloodshed, the enemy's trying to stop and prevent what God's doing, but no wisdom, no strength can stop what God's doing. I mean, he's going to do it. He's God, you know? And if you're a believer and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you know, if you don't make it physically through this, you're going to be present with God watching from the banister of heaven, the victory of God and the greatest harvest the earth has ever seen. So reportedly over 1 billion souls coming into the kingdom of God. But you got to see this. This is amazing. Our president, and now we understand Valerie Jarrett speaking, trying to push us to the place of an Islamic state, who selected him before he was even married to Michelle, based on her own reports. And we have this entire interview on the VFN Torch. You can see it. Hopefully it's related. So you can listen to Valerie say, yeah, we were looking at him and we realized that he was a man that would listen to his wife and that we could actually, this is what her words were. Yep. And I was just listen. And that was before Michelle married Barack. And you think about that. And it's like, wow, we voted for Barack Obama. We didn't vote for Michelle Obama, and we didn't vote for Valerie Jarrett.
Mm-mm.
We voted for President, or, well, some people voted for President Barack Obama, whoever voted, the majority of people did. And so so in that, here he is right now at this prayer breakfast, and of all the things to talk about, while people are being beheaded, people are being crucified, you know, children are being killed, this ISIL thing is going on, Israel's being threatened, a Sharia court's popping up in Texas, the first one in America pops up in Texas, that's this tribunal. And if all the things that happens at this prayer breakfast, and we're seeing all this bloodshed because of Islam and radical Islam, he goes all the way back to the year 1200 and starts talking about the Crusaders. As a matter of fact, watch this. Listen to this.
But part of what I want to touch on today is the degree to which we've seen professions of faith used both as an instrument of great good, but also twisted and misused in the name of evil. As we speak around the world, we see faith inspiring people to lift up one another, to feed the hungry, and care for the poor, and comfort the afflicted, and make peace where there is strife. We heard the good work that sisters done in Philadelphia, and the incredible work that Dr. Brantley and his colleagues have done. We see faith driving us to do right. But we also see faith being twisted and distorted, used as a wedge, or worse, sometimes used as a weapon. From a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris, we have seen violence and terror perpetrated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith. Profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. We see ISIS, a brutal, vicious death cult that, in the name of religion, carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yazidis, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority for such actions. We see sectarian war in Syria, the murder of Muslims and Christians in Nigeria, religious war in the Central African Republic, a rising tide of anti-Semitism and hate crimes in Europe, so often perpetrated in the name of religion. And so how do we, as people of faith, reconcile these realities? The profound good, the strength, the tenacity, the compassion and love that can flow from all of our faiths, operating alongside those who seek to hijack religious for their own murderous ends. Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
Looking at here is an amazing a turn where you would say, why would you even
bring up?
Why would you go back thousands of years to the Crusaders, who, by the way, you know, according to reports, was Islam was on the rise. Mm-hmm. They were taking over country after country after country, and supposedly, you know, and I'm not condoning at all, you know, a lot of things have been done in the name of religion that has been bad, but they were defending themselves in the context of they're going to be taken over by Islam if they don't act on it. But in regards to the Inquisition, that Ferdinand, that happened where they went to the Jews, went to Israel and Jerusalem. They put the sword to the neck of the Jew and they said, convert or die. And they expelled the Jews from Spain. Now, this really happened. Mm. And so, but that's 1,200 years back. 12 minutes ago, a man was being burned alive.
Yeah.
This is a leadership that does not even speak anything about negative about Islam. According to Michelle Bachmann, removed every mention of radical Islam as a possible enemy of America, removed it totally from the FBI libraries and all the libraries. And here, as we're seeing, you know, heads be cut off. I mean, think about this. You have James Foley's head got cut off, a journalist, and our president went back to play golf. But when Sony got under attack, he had a meeting in the White House and gathered all of Homeland Security to find out, we got to stop this thing.
Right.
And Valerie saying, this has been my goal, this is what I wanted to happen. It's like, you have to understand, This is a demonic, dark plot against our nation and the church. We have to rise up and begin. This is not people. Your enemy is not people. God loves human beings. This is your enemy is not even. It's not. It's listen. It's where we've sinned. It's what we've done wrong. It has nothing to do with anybody else. You have total control of your destiny by saying, you know what, God, I'm going to quit pointing my finger at politics. I mean, you have people right now who say they're Christians, who would rather be called a conservative to be defined as a conservative than a Christian. In other words, I'd rather be seeing myself as a political conservative than a Christian. Listen, conservative politics is, forget about all that. As Christians, we have to be loyal to Jesus Christ, even to the point of even if it costs us everything. And when you think about Hebrews, writing of Hebrews, he says, I see you with all your things. You know, your stuff was taken away, but you didn't shrink back. You're not the ones that shrink back and are destroyed, but you're ones that have faith and stand up, you know. And this is the reality. The great persecution is coming the way of the world. We're seeing it happen right now for some strange reason until it's on our doorstep.
That's right.
And what happened, I know that what happened in Kechar Bradford in Texas, God gave her a night vision. This night vision, these loudspeakers went off and this whole parade was going on and everybody was having this parade in the city. And it was confirmed exactly as well in Tampa. We were meeting with a sister in Tampa. She's just hearing the same thing, a sister in the Lord. But all of a sudden, the loudspeakers were taken over. And this is what was said over the loudspeakers. Everybody, get to your house. The Al-Qaeda is coming to your house, and a day of reckoning is coming. Now, you know, you can think, oh, no. This is the whole thing is, you just got to decide. Who's your God? Do you remember if you study... If you study the Word of God, if you begin to pick it up and to study the Word of God, you'll find out the same thing happened with Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah went to the top of the mountain where everybody can see him. Maybe it might be on television, maybe by wherever it is, but everybody could see Elijah. And he's going, listen, you know, you're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. It was a decision to be made. And you can even look and read ahead that when we make a decision for Jesus Christ, God resolves the issue. He resolves the problem. He solves it. I mean, think about this. He totally solves it. And what they did was God raised up this leader named Jehu that came in to begin to restructure government, begin to restructure government in such a way that God would be honored again in the context of that. But you had Elijah who stood up prophetically and said, you're going to have to choose. And let me tell you something, America, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. Who is your God? Is your body your God? Is your sexual desire your God? Is money your God? Is the way you want to do things your God? You know, is politics your God? Is power your God? Or is God your God? I'm talking about God whose son is Jesus Christ. You're going to have to decide. And sad to say, it could be just like the girl at Columbine, the young girl in the library, when the shooter walked up, held total captive by the devil. And he shot all those students in the school. And he walked up to her and he asked her, you know, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, yes. And then he shot her and killed her. Understand, what had a hold of him is the very same thing that has a hold of radical Islam today. They're trying to get as many people as they can to deny Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. One particular man said on Fox News, and I believe it was Greta talking to him, he said, a former FBI retired agent, I believe, she said, well, would it be if you're held captive by radical Islam because you are a Christian, couldn't you just convert to their religion and then that will help out? And he says, well, that could, you know, that could possibly help. But he says, that's every man's test. Let me tell you something. If you accept any other God than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, the only way to God, and you were to die, after that decision, you've sealed your eternal damnation away from God. That's why this whole thing, think about it. Think about this. We're going to break, but think about this. What's the big deal? Why is this great escalation? Why so much evil? Why so much fear? Why so much? Because hell is real. The adversary knows his days are numbered, and he is loosing as much fury as he can on the face of the earth. And there's been a huge strategy going on up until the point, and they chose and selected Barack Obama as president based on some of the things the Lord's sharing with us, some things that according to his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, said that he selected before he was elected. According to Valerie Jarrett, when she said she selected him all the way up, we followed him as senator and all the way up to presidency. And so there's something else behind all that that's pushing this whole thing. And when you look at according to the Rules for Radicals and understand the back cover, they dedicate that book to Barack Obama and to Hillary Rodham Clinton, who wrote her thesis on this whole strategy. This is serious stuff. But understand this. I think about this, and I know we got to get a break. But I think about Phyllis Schauffler. I think her name is Phyllis. I forget her last name. She stood up for what was right. I believe in the 60s or 70s, all seemingly by herself. And she said, this is how it's supposed to be. This is of God. And this one woman stood up and began to stand, because that was against, you know, Hillary Clinton was marching in the street back then, and she was abortion. They were pushing for aborting children and pushing for divorce and no-fault divorce. All those different things were happening at that. It was before Roe versus Wade happened in 1973. And so she is standing up, and she's beginning to say, but that's not right. That's not the right way to go. And they attacked her, but guess what? She won. God used one woman to stand up and you say, this is the right way. And she stood in stadiums. She stood everywhere. Now imagine you. Imagine you standing up. Even if you're the only one and you're not the only one, we're going to stand up together and say, you know what? This is the right way. Nobody's perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And we all need forgiveness. But Jesus is the only way. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Man, we have so much to talk about today. I wanted to be able to talk about gratitude. That's so important. But first, I want to talk about Duck Dynasty. Why? Because it seems that our viewers and listeners, anything to do with Duck Dynasty.
Oh, my goodness.
So did I tell you about Duck Dynasty? There was two guys in camis that walked into a donut store. They, I had a chance to flip, you know, after looking at our ratings and seeing that you love Duck Dynasty, we are going to have some camis done for John. So he can show up.
Yeah, and my beard.
Your what? Your beard?
Yes, my beard.
It's called beard.
Beard. That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, that's funny. Anyway, so
in the South, it's beard.
Beard.
Yeah.
Right, beard. I have to remember the beard.
And so, and we got the cami. We're gonna get the camis, I guess, done up for him and all that. But
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yes. We were gonna do it, but it's so much lower budget for the cost of amount of material that we have to use. You know, only a yard, right? Only a yard of material.
Just a yard.
With me, it's like 7 yards, 8 yards, something like that of material. I forgot how many yards it takes to fix stuff. You know, obviously I don't know nothing with that. So, but yeah, Duck Dynasty. So if you get a chance, we're talking about Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
So it fits in there. Welcome back. It's Phyllis Schauffele, S-C-H-A-F-L-Y, Schauffele. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that just stood up. It's amazing. You watch some of the clips. As you're standing, you know, she was a mother and
one woman.
And, of course, a wife. And she just stood up and said, this is what marriage is, because all these things were happening at that particular time. Billie Jean King was a tennis match. Mm-hmm. And she was, there's, you know, all kinds of things happening at that time. And it's just like, wow, you know, what a powerful thing. It just boils down to this, you know. We want to be, you know, we're talking about so much. You have to be willing to lay down your life for the one who laid down his life for you. That's the price. Jesus said this. He said, unless you pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, you can have no part of me. This is the decision. This is what the last two programs were about. It's like, okay, you hear the intensity, you hear the drumbeat, you hear, you know, the war cry coming from the enemy that God is allowing. There's nobody pulling anything over on God. God is allowing to come against us, for we have sinned. And he says, listen, if you will warn them, if you will tell them, this is actually what's happening, a storm is being fashioned against you, and they repent, then you would have won a friend, and all of a sudden this whole thing is thwarted and it just ends, which means God loves us so much, he warns us, like Amos chapter 7 says, that says, you know what? This is what's going to happen. I mean, it's like a father that says, you know, hey, if you guys don't straighten up talking to his kids, if y'all keep on hitting on each other, you're going to get some discipline. You know, you're going to get a spanking, something's going to happen. So he didn't just go spank them. He didn't go put them in a corner or something. He let them know, if you continue this behavior, this is what I'm going to do. And some kids actually listen, and they go, they don't do that, right? But you know, those are children. God is much more perfect then there's no perfect man.
That's right.
And he's so loving and so kind. He wants to forgive us. Let me tell you something. What I know presently of the Lord, and there's so much more for me to know, I know. He loves you. He's looking to forgive you. There's some people out there right now. There's people right now waiting for you to go to them and repent for what you did to them. And they're just ready to forgive you, but you gotta go to them. You gotta say, you know, forgive me and acknowledge what you've done. They want to forgive you. And let me tell you something, there is God, the Creator, who's saying, oh, I want to forgive you. You know, I'm sending you these warnings. I'm sending you prophets. They're warning you the storm is coming, but I don't want the storm on you. I don't rejoice in one person dying outside of knowing me. I want everyone to be saved. Listen to this warning. I don't want this discipline to come in. I don't want this time of great turmoil. And understand that what you're seeing happen over in the Middle East, according to what God has shown Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, and you can see the entire prophetic dream on VFN Torch, and hopefully it's a related link, is going to be worse than what we're seeing right now in ISIS. It's going to be worse than we're seeing in ISIL or Al-Qaeda. According to what God told Rick Joyner, that even Al-Qaeda is going to disassociate themselves from that. They're going to be scared of what they see in America. Hmm. This is what Abraham Lincoln said. President Lincoln said, America's so strong, nobody will ever take her down. The only thing that will take America down is herself. And so this is where we're going to have to remain strong. You know, e pluribus unum means something. It means though that we're many, we're one. Everything that can be divided has been divided. I mean, they even attacked, they even came against Bill Cosby, an actor. I mean, he had this wonderful portrayal of a family, and everybody was encouraged by watching his family on television. And it's like, why did you have to destroy this positive role model? It's an actor. He's an actor. You know, and they just everything that could possibly be taken down has been just divided. And it's like, you know what? Everything that can be divided is being divided. But the question is, this is the question. Who are you going to be united with? Who are you going to be united with? We got to come together. We got to unify, not around a concept, an idea, a doctrine of, denominationalism. We got to unify around Jesus. Chuck Pierce said of Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas, he said, you know, that the reason why the leadership in the world is stuck is because the leadership in the church is stuck, that the old guard won't let go. I think about Miles Monroe when he said this, and you can see this on the torch. He said, you know, that pretty much that what's having to happen is leadership is dying with the baton in their hand instead of passing it off like a relay race. And the next generation has to go to the casket, take the baton and pry the fingers off the one who died with that leadership in their hand because they would not give it away. And they have to walk out as a first generation leader again because they did not impart into them that double anointed leadership. That goes, listen, the leadership has to break. You have to let go. Listen, is it really about you? I mean, think about this. Is God not enough? Is God not enough? I mean, how can you add to him? Do you remember what you were when you were first called? How did you become so high and mighty all of a sudden? How all of a sudden you think you can do this whole thing without God's spirit in your church or in your presence? All of a sudden you swayed around and started preaching preferences instead of the word of God. All of a sudden people think that you're holy and righteous in yourself and you let them think that. You don't tell them that you're like Paul, of sinners you're the chiefest, that God has forgiven you. And outside of God holding you up, you would just fall. Listen, we have to rise up and say, dear God, we got to get back. We got the leadership. Listen, if God is raising up the next leadership, allow them to honor you. Allow them to honor you, the old and the new wineskin, to honor you, and you lay hands on this next generation and allow that blessing to come in there because we need, I mean, we're seeing just this rapid harvest coming in that's going to take thousands and thousands and thousands of leaders to be able to arise. But if you don't let go of the baton, if you don't begin to speak into the next generation, you don't begin to raise up spiritual sons and daughters to be able to go off and carry on what God is doing, listen, I don't know how it's going to be, but God says, if you don't do it, I'll raise up my shepherds myself. But what I want to do right now, you know, this is a lot. I just want to pray with you. And this is a lot of things that are coming up. Let's just pray together. Let's just pray right now. Let's go to God and say, dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you for letting us know. I thank you for the warnings. I thank you for helping us understand. I thank you for Phyllis and the history that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the generations of leaders who stood strong all the years in the church. Lord, we pray that you would raise up leaders, that you would unstick us, that we would be unstuck, and that you would just explode in enthusiasm, desire to see the next generation raise up, Father God, and follow your spirit and be rightly related and honor, Lord, that everything that has happened, that you've done, that people would honor each other and honor previous moves of God and allow you, Father God, to do what you want to do in this generation. God, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion, protect our nation, end this Islamic sword being brought against our nation, God. And we ask you, Lord, forgive us of our sins and send revival, yes. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Looking for a holistic, organic, and herbal approach for healing? Look no further than All Time Remedies in Pensacola. With over 200 bulk herbs on the shelf, large variety, and high quality. Call, visit online, or drop in today and sign up for one of our popular workshops. Benson's House Salon and Spa, your premier salon spa on the Gulf Coast. Located in Pace, Florida, off of Highway 90, where big city salon meets small town. Our many services include hair, makeup, nails, massages, and so much more. Schedule your visit with a stylist today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. For all of your air conditioning and heating needs, contact TNC Extreme Air Inc., a veteran-owned and operated business with over 10 years of service. Proudly serving Escambia and Santa Rosa County in commercial refrigeration, ice machines, heating, air conditioning, ductwork, and so much more. Give us a call today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read his word, and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding. And that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.